right, let's take our chorus books this morning. We'll start with song number 87. It's the song he's playing. 87, Till the Storm Passes By.
Streets.
First, we have Brother Jeffco coming on the 12th. He and his wife will be with us all day, and we're good to be, have them with us. They always are a blessing when they're here, both with his preaching. I can still remember the message he gave from Song of Solomon the last time he was here. It was a real blessing. And then also, he and his wife do a really good special music, so that will be a blessing to each of us that are here for that those services. And then the other thing, and the Lord has really been blessing us recently, but as always, let's do what we can for the work of the Lord in the way of giving. Before and after our services, we have the box in the back there, and there's also the basket for Brother Renzi. We want to thank him for being with us today, and we're glad that he's here. And it's always a blessing when he's with us. So those are the announcements that I'm aware of for today. So let's get back to singing. 125. 125. Take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 1. We just started learning this passage this morning. So why don't we turn in our Bibles to Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. All right, here we go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All right, let's do it one more time. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All right, very good. Our last song is 152. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so on this song, 152.
in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. Looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense, but that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Come to the stage. Saving grace, the blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there in wonder, how could this be? Someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken, I felt born.
Forgiven when mercy walked in.
Amen. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible this morning, we're going to continue what we started in Sunday school. If you would, if you have a Bible, would you turn to John chapter number 17, please? John chapter number 17. We started to talk about a topic this morning on being holy. That is God's will for God's people. Amen. 1 Peter, don't turn there, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. If you're saved, you're a child of God. And if you're a child of God, it's God's will for you and I that are saved to live like it. Amen. By the way, the world needs us to live like it. That's for sure, right? We talked this morning in Sunday school in reference to being holy. We note the purpose of the Lord, and we looked at some scriptures that plainly let us know it's God's purpose for us to be holy. And one of the things we looked at was 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, which said, God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We looked at Hebrews chapter number 12, which emphasizes we need to follow or pursue holiness. Amen. Living for the Lord. Not only do I want us to note the purpose of the Lord when it comes to being holy, I want us to note the prayer of the Lord when it comes to being holy. In fact, if I were to ask most people, what is the Lord's prayer? And I believe most people would begin to say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Is that correct? Most people believe that that is the Lord's prayer because that's what it's been called forever. But the fact of the matter is, I don't believe that's the Lord's prayer. I believe that's the prayer the Lord gave to the disciples. Ingredients, and put these in your prayers, if you will. If you ever really want to study and read the Lord's Prayer, read John 9 or John 17. Amen. That is the Lord's Prayer. In fact, I'll prove it to you. Look at verse number 1, John chapter 17, verse number 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, and he begins to pray. The whole chapter is the Lord's Prayer. Amen. And what I want us to note in reference to holiness, we're not going to read the whole Lord's Prayer this day because there's a whole lot in there that could be preached on. But nonetheless, I want to focus on verses 14 through 20. I want us to know, because we're talking about being holy, being godly, being the kind of Christians that God wants us to be. And not only do we see the Lord's purpose in us being holy, but we see the Lord's prayer. The Lord actually prayed for his disciples to be holy. Look with me, if you would, John 17, beginning in verse number 14. Here's what Jesus said. I have given them thy word. And he's speaking about the disciples. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. By the way, that's why the world hates God's people. Might I say, that's why the world should hate God's people. The world shouldn't hate us because we're obnoxious. Can I get a witness on that one? Can I have a witness? Let me tell you something. There are some preachers who the world don't like. There are preachers that the Christians don't like because they're obnoxious. They might say truthful things, but they say them in such ways that it really is, it's not wise. Amen. You and I ought to be hated by the world, not necessarily because of how we are in respects to our attitude toward the world, but in our beliefs. Amen. You just simply have to hold the truth, share the truth. And if the world don't like the truth, they won't like you. But don't take it personal. They don't like the Lord. Amen. Look at verse number 14 as he goes on. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world. And by the way, there's the essence right there. You and I are to be holy. We're to be godly. We are in this world. You've heard the statement before. We're in the world, but not what? Of the world, which means this, we don't live like the world lives, and we don't live for what the world lives for. Amen. And so you and I are different. And he says in verse number 14, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, verse number 15, he emphasizes his prayer for the disciples. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Wouldn't that be something if the moment you accepted Christ, you woke up in heaven? Wouldn't that be something? The only thing is that would stop and nobody else would get saved. Think about that. We probably wouldn't have heard it. The person before us got saved. Whoever led us to the Lord, they weren't here. They couldn't lead us to the Lord. So the fact of the matter, he's saying, Father, I'm praying for these disciples. I'm praying for these believers. They have your world, they have your word, and the world don't like them. He goes on to say, I'm praying not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil. And by the way, to me, there's a prayer of holiness right there. Lord, keep them in the world, but keep them from the evil. And many believe that's an emphasis on the evil one, by the way. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. The Lord Jesus prayed for you and I as his people that we would be in this world, but not of this world, that God would protect us and keep us while we're in this world. And by the way, we need that protection. Boy, we are living in this world, but we're not to be of this world. Churches are to be in this world, but not of this world. Churches, like boats, ought to be able to float on the water.
And this world is an ocean. And the church is God's house, and it ought to be able to float on this world. But when you open up the windows and you open up the doors and you just basically invite the world in because you change everything, the water gets into the boat, and guess what happens? The boat sinks. Many churches today, they want to appeal to the world. They want to have the music, and they want to have the messages, and they want to have, or the lack of messages. They don't want to offend the world. They want to appeal to the world. Hey, listen, if you appeal to the world, guess what you're going to get? The world. And when the world floods in, guess what's going to happen to the church? It's going to sink. Amen? And so you and I need to be very, very careful to maintain holiness in life as well as in our church. Look at verse number 16. He said this: they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And here's his prayer for sanctification, if you will, holiness. Verse number 17, sanctify them. They're in the world, but keep them apart from the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse number 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now here's what I want you to note. In verses 14 to 19, he was praying specifically for his disciples that were present with him. Look at verse 20, because verse 20 throws you and I that are saved into this prayer. Look at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. He's praying for you and I that are saved, that we would be in this world, but not of this world. That we would keep ourselves, if you will, from this world. Amen? Let's ask the Lord's blessing, and I want to share some thoughts. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for this gathering today. May your spirit take your word and do a work in our hearts, making us more and more like Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen. So in John chapter number 17, the Lord Jesus prayed for our sanctification. And I mentioned this earlier, and I'll mention it now. He did not pray for our perfection in reference to sinless perfection. Amen. Because we cannot be sinlessly perfect in this body, in this world, in this life. Amen. And by the way, I'll tell you one of the great examples of the Lord Jesus praying, if you will. Turn with me for a moment to the book of Luke, chapter number 22. Luke, chapter number 22. He did not pray for us to be sinlessly perfect while we're here in this life. He prayed for us to be protected. Amen. Luke, chapter number 22, if you would, please. We have an example of the Lord Jesus praying. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus has prayed for us, number one? And I personally believe he's praying for us. Amen. I believe he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus prayed for us and is praying for us? One of the great examples of the Lord's praying for an individual, we find him praying for Peter. Look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter number 22. And let's look at verse number 31 and 32. Luke chapter 22. Look at verse number 31 and 32. The Lord Jesus prayed for Peter. And I want you to get this, if you would. He didn't pray for Peter's perfection. He prayed for his protection. But watch this. He says in Luke chapter number 22, beginning verse number 31. And the Lord said, and by the way, the Lord speaking to Peter. Watch what he says. Simon, Simon. By the way, Simon, what is that? By the way, Simon, you ever read the Bible, you'll read about Simon Peter quite often. Simon Peter, Simon Peter. That is a reference to the dual nature of the believer. Simon was his old name, which refers to his old nature. Peter was his new name, refers to the new nature. By the way, when you get saved, you have an old nature and a new nature, which means you have a battle. The new nature wants me to do what's right. The old nature wants me to do wrong. And that's the battle in the Christian life. Book of Galatians, the flesh, the spirit. That's the battle right there. Amen. But watch here. In this context, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, he didn't call him Peter. He said what? Simon, Simon. There was even no reference to the new nature. Let me tell you what happened here. When he's speaking to Simon, can I tell you what part of Simon he's speaking to? He's speaking to his flesh. Let me tell you what the devil appeals to. The flesh. Amen? And so the Lord said to him, Simon, Simon, by the way, I'd love to one day develop a sermon on when the Lord speaks to somebody and calls their name more than once. I think there's something to it. In other words, I think many times when he's calling the name more than once, it means he's trying to get their attention. Martha, Martha. Why would he have to say Martha, Martha? She's so busy serving the Lord, she don't got time for the Lord. Amen? Saul, Saul, he's so busy trying to persecute, right? Why persecutest thou me? And so anyway, he says, Simon, Simon, let me get your attention, old nature. Look at verse number 31. He goes on. Behold, here's what he wants them to know. Behold, here's what I want you to see, Simon, Simon. Satan hath desired to have you. Satan hath desired to have you. Now, recently, I've been working on a sermon series on the thought of desire. I preached through messages on dedication or being determined. I preached on different messages on being diligent. And the base of all of that is desire. And so I got into a little study on desire. And one, this text is in there, one of those thoughts here. He was desired by the devil. And here's, let me give you a thought here. Not every Christian is desirable to the devil. Now, some of you say, well, hold on a minute. That don't make any sense. Well, it will in a moment. Why in the world was Simon being targeted by the devil? Can I tell you something about Simon, Peter? He was a big mouth. Can I get a witness on that one? In fact, he was such a big mouth, he was often putting his foot in his mouth. Often. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? Oh, it's good for me to be here. Let's make three tabernacles. Come on, Simon, what are you doing? No, 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 no. This is my beloved son. We don't worship the, we honor him above everybody. Amen?
Amen.
But Simon, he was a big mouth. I believe he was a big mouth because of one reason. I believe Simon Peter had a big heart. I really do. When the Lord said, one of you are going to betray me this night, I believe he was sincerely saying, not me, Lord, I'll never do that. I believe he sincerely wanted to live for God. But the spirit indeed is willing. His spirit inside was willing, but his flesh, Simon, Simon, his flesh was weak. I believe Simon Peter had a big heart. That's what gave him a big mouth. Hey, he's the only one that I know beside the Lord that walked on water. Amen? I believe because of his big heart, he was a big target for the devil. Amen? There was a reason the devil wanted him. The devil's not really all that concerned about every believer. It's those believers that stand up. It's those believers that speak up. Can I get a witness on that one? You think about that. If you're already sitting down shutting up and you ain't got nothing to do or nothing to say as a Christian, the devil say, I don't need to bother that. His target are those who have a heart. Listen, they that will live godly, you see that will? That don't mean they do live godly, that means they want to. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution. Amen? So here's what he says. What? He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Now, let me just throw this in there. I'm not going to take you there, but what is it? Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. Don't turn there. Let me turn there for a moment. I want to read this for you. Not every believer, not every Christian is the desirable to the devil. There are some that are primary targets for the devil. Amen. Look at Acts chapter number 12, or listen, I should say, Acts 12, 1. Watch what it says. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. You get that statement? Certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take who?
Peter
also. You see, Herod wasn't saying, well, all the believers, I'm going to, you know, really be. When you have a heart for God and you really want to live for God, you get the devil's attention. Amen? Simon, Simon, back at Luke chapter number 22, Satan hath desired to have you. By the way, it's amazing what Jesus told Peter, and then what Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Remember, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And by the way, the devil's on the prowl, but he's looking for big targets. He's looking for righteous targets. You recall the book of Job, right? The book of Job. And you recall it was a day when the angels, the sons of God, would come before God and give an account, and Satan himself came. And what did the Lord say to him? Where have you been, Satan? He said, I've been walking up and down and to and fro in the earth. And what did God say? You consider my servant Job? There's none like him. There's none like him. Why? What kind of man? He's a man who eschews evil. He's a man that's perfect in his generation, which means he's a mature individual. He's really got a heart for God. There's nobody like him. Have you considered him? And by the way, can I tell you, I'm not going to quote the verse, but can I say in my own words what the devil says? Oh, I've noted him. I've noted him. And guess what? I've tried to get to him. You say, how do you know that? He says, there's a hedge about him. I can't get him. You recall that, right? See, the devil was walking up and down, walking to and fro, and he's not just looking for anybody. He's really looking for the one that really stands out, the man that has a real heart for God, that's really trying to do right. Amen? And he makes them his focus. Verse number 31, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now look at verse 32. Here's what I want you to see. The Lord's prayer for him. But I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee. You know, what was the Lord's prayer for him? Watch this. That thy faith fail not. I will say this. The Lord did not say, I'm praying for you not to fail. If the Lord prayed for me not to fail, is that possible in this life? Not praying for you not to fail. Here's what I'm praying for you. When you do fail, that your faith don't fail. Why? When you fall down, when you get tripped up, when you have your situation and you fall, it's your faith that's going to get you back up. And it's your faith that's going to get you back going. Amen? I'm praying when you have your difficulties and your situation, when the devil trips you up and maybe gets the best of it, I'm praying for you that your faith don't fail, but that you still trust me and believe me and get up and get on. Amen? Why? Look what he says in verse number 32 as he goes on. And when thou art converted, and that's not to do with his salvation. That's to do with him getting back right with God. Amen? When thou art converted, he said this, strengthen thy brethren. I got something for you to do. You are not going to be perfect. You're going to have your faults. You're going to have your failures. But by faith, believe in the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God. Amen? Get back up and go on because other people need you. You can help others. Amen? Oh, the Lord prayed for our protection in this world. Not our perfection. Our protection. And in spite of all of our faults and failures, thank God we can get back up and go on. One of the things I want to focus on for a few moments is the fact that the Lord emphasized in his prayer in John 17, you and I are of this world. We're in the world, I should say, but not of the world. That is the mindset that we all have to have as we travel through this life. Amen? We have to have a mindset as Christians. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen? My treasures, they're laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Not here. We all have to have the mindset as God's people so we can get through this world that's trying to distract us and disturb us and destroy us. Amen? I want you to see some things. Turn with me, if you would, for a moment to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, please. I'm trying to encourage us to be the kind of people God wants us to be in this world. Amen? Be clean in a dirty world. Try to stay focused on the right things in the world that is so focused on everything else. Amen? It's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven. Amen? Many are the thorns on the way. It's not an easy road, but the Savior is with us. Amen? I want you to look with me, if you would, 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want us to note some things. I want to look at a statement and just kind of focus on it for a few moments. We need to have the right mindset as Christians as we go through this ungodly world. Amen? 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want to read verses 9 to 12, if you would, please. And I want you to note some things. Verse number 9, but you are. And if you're saved, this is you. Amen. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And that's wonderful, isn't it? You know, in the Old Testament, there was a priesthood and then there was a lineage of kings. But today in Christ, we're a both. Amen. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. There it is, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, in reference to the Gentiles, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Talking about that song. Amen. Look at verse number 12. Having your conversation, I'm sorry, verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, Peter said, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. By the way, there's a statement here in verse number 11 that you and I need to get a hold of. And might I say, it needs to get a hold of us. We are strangers and pilgrims. We have to keep that in mind. That's the whole emphasis of the song, "This World, It's Not My Home." We are strangers and pilgrims. And by the way, we find this statement, strangers and pilgrims, in two places in the Bible where it's together like that, strangers and pilgrims. We find it here in 1 Peter 2:11, and we find it in Hebrews chapter number 11. I believe it's in verse number 16, possibly. We'll look at it in a moment. You and I are strangers and pilgrims. Now, let me just give you some thoughts about this. As strangers, we are away from home. That's what it means. We're foreigners. We're strangers. We're away from home. In fact, we ought to get homesick. Amen? We're strangers. We're away from home. But get this now. At the same time, we're pilgrims. We're headed home. We're strangers. We're away from home in this world. But we're pilgrims. We're headed home. Amen? And when we think of those two things, in the two different texts that both of these statements are in this text right here in 1 Peter, the emphasis is on being strangers. And what we have to do as being strangers, get this now, we have to fight the flesh. We have to fight the flesh. That's the whole emphasis in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 9 to 12. As strangers in this foreign land, we have to battle our flesh. Amen. Dearly beloved, verse number 11, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, like this, abstain from what? Fleshly lust, which what? War against the soul. About an hour away from our house in Philadelphia, we have the Jersey Shore. Anybody been to the Jersey Shore? They have a kiddie land. Anybody been to the kiddie land? Oh, you gotta be kidding me. You like that one. You have the boardwalk. You go at nighttime. It's the best time, by the way. The Ferris wheel's going with the lights. All the, you know, the roller coaster, everything's lit up. The games are going, the cotton candy. You're getting hungry, you're getting whatever. Take your children, if they're young, let's say 7, 8 years old, and say, you know what, kids? We're going to start on the boardwalk right here, and we're going to walk the boardwalk all the way to the end of the boardwalk. We're not going to stop for nothing. Come on, guys. Can you tell me what's going to happen, please? You think those kids are going to be like, oh, no, oh, no, can I get a witness on them? Oh, you smell the cotton candy. Oh, you got the fries, the potato fries. Oh, you got the, and you got the fudge over here. And you got, what's going to happen? You are not going to walk a straight line from one end of the boardwalk to the other with all this stuff going on. Not with kids. How many people watched or read Pilgrim's Progress? Pilgrim, we're on our way. Watch Vanity Fair. Amen. That's the whole emphasis of 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12. You and I, by the way, can become like children. And the devil's got so many things trying to distract us. By the way, let him that thinketh he stand, you take heed lest you fall. Let me tell you about a man named Demas. We find in the book of Philemon, verse number 24, where Paul references Demas as a fellow laborer. Could you imagine laboring and working shoulder to shoulder and elbow to elbow with the apostle Paul, who saw the Lord, who was in heaven, came back, amen? Could you imagine what a ministry, what a, and all of a sudden, in 2 Timothy 4:10, we find Paul saying this, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Amen. Let me tell you something. If the world can suck in a man who's rubbing elbows with the apostle Paul in ministry, it can suck in any one of us. Amen. No doubt about it. You know, the devil tried to get Jesus with the world. He said, hey, look at, in a moment of time, by the way, in Luke 4, in a moment of time, a good salesman don't need a long time. Years ago, when they knocked on doors selling vacuum cleaners and everything else, their first few words had to catch you. And if it caught you, you opened the door. And once you opened the door, you bought it. The devil is a tempter. And the tempter came to him, and in a moment of time, he showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and said, you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this. Amen? Hey, if he tempted the Son of God, you know he's tempting us. Amen? You and I are to go through this world as strangers. Listen, fighting the flesh. Fighting the flesh. Because the flesh is prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Paul said, in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. Amen? You and I got to go through as strangers. We need to fight the flesh. By the way, as Christians, just remember where you are. You're in a war zone. You're not in a playground. And might I put it this way? The devil's playground is our war zone. Ain't it the truth? The devil's playground is our war zone. And let me tell you something. His playground is getting bigger. Amen? It really is. His playground is getting bigger. Amen? And you and I as believers, we got to battle him at every turn. He doesn't need long to get us. Listen, we need to go through this life as strangers, remembering where we are. But we also need to remember who we are. We're God's people. We're a chosen generation. We're a holy nation. Amen? But here's another thing we got to keep in mind too. Look at verse number 9 and verse number 12 of 1 Peter. See, this will help us hopefully to keep the mindset. I'm a stranger. I can't let this world suck me in. Amen? I'm God's people. But not only am I in a war zone and I'm God's people, but there's a reason we're here. There's a reason the Lord said, Father, I pray not that thou shouldest take them, but that you'll keep them here. Why? Keep them here that they might make a difference in the lives of others. Amen? Look at verse number 9, please. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? What does it say? That you should what? Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why are we here? We're here as God's people to let our lights shine. Matthew 5:16. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Brighten the corner where you are. Amen? When the world sucks in a Christian and that Christian becomes worldly, guess what? The light's gone out. They'll make no difference in anybody else's life. Look at verse 12. I'm just saying, listen, there's a reason we got to maintain our focus. I'm a stranger here. I've been sent to this foreign land as an ambassador. I'm here in this country trying to represent that country, and I got to make sure I'm a good representation. Amen? You can go to, I don't want to do it today, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're ambassadors for Christ. God is beseeching them through us to be reconciled to him. Amen? We lose that focus. We lose that focus. And we may lose lives. Amen? Look at verse 12. Having your conversation, again, that word conversation is lifestyle. Having your conversation what? Honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Many believe, and I personally lean toward the thought, the day of visitation is the day that God visits them and knocks on their door for their salvation. My good works, by the way, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. My good Christian lifestyle can make a difference in the heart and life of an individual that God goes to knock on their door to save their soul. Amen? He can use us. He can use us. We got to maintain that focus. Amen? We got to understand. Listen, as strangers going through this world, we got to fight the flesh. Now turn to Hebrews chapter number 11, please, and we'll close up with this text. Hebrews chapter 11. See, the Lord prayed, keep them in the world, Lord, but don't let the world conquer their lives. Amen? We got to stay in the world, but we got to stay focused on serving the Lord and not getting sucked into the world and losing our effectiveness in the lives of others. Amen? That's so important. Look at Hebrews, if you would, please, chapter number 11. We're going through this world, listen, as strangers, we're foreigners, we're ambassadors, we're from another country, amen? Our citizenship is in heaven, amen? From whence also we look for the Savior. Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to read, I want you to read with, or not read with me, but I want you to look with me as I read Hebrews 11, look at verse number 8 to 10. Hebrews 11, verse number 8 to 10. The Bible says this, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, temporary, right? With tents, if you will, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of with him of the same promise. Look at verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God called Abraham from where he was to where God wanted him to go. As Abraham left his hometown and went to where God wanted him to go, he lived in tents. There's an emphasis on the temporariness of life. Amen. But he went looking for the place that God had for him. But Hebrews emphasizes he was even looking for a greater place, and that greater place is heaven. He had his eyes focused on eternity. Look at skip down to verse number 13. He goes on to say in verse number 13, if you will, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on earth. What the emphasis here in 1 Peter, the emphasis were strangers. Let's fight the flesh. The emphasis here is we're pilgrims. Let's focus on the future. We're pilgrims. Let's focus on the future. This is temporary. That's eternal. Let's focus on the future. Look at verse number 14. I think it is where we left off. Verse number 14. For they that say such things declare plainly what? They seek a country. You see, when you're seeking a country, you don't get wrapped up in the one you're in. Can I get a witness on that one? We're in this world. We're not of this world. We're focusing on the world that really matters. Amen. Look at verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. Look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So you and I, we're in this world. We're not of this world. We got to fight the flesh while we're here, and we got to focus on the future while we're here. Got to focus on the future. Boy, you get your eyes off the future and you get your eyes on here and now, you're bound to trip up. Amen? We need to be looking for the future. We need to be longing for the future. And we need to be living for the future. Look with me if you would. Did I say I was going to close up in Hebrews? I lied. I want you to turn one more text if you would. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. You and I, listen, if I'm going to live a godly life, I can't get wrapped up in this world. How can I get wrapped up in an ungodly world and live a godly life? Can I get a witness on that one? If I'm going to live a godly life, I got to keep my focus on the world to come. I got to keep my focus on eternity and on the next world, the next life, which matters. a lot more than this one does. Amen. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Everything that was said up to this point will be wrapped up in this text right here. 1 Timothy. By the way, the primary recipient, Timothy, is the one that's given directly this message, especially applying it to leadership, but it applies to every believer. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Would you look at me in verse number 11? But thou, O man of God. By the way, I'm not going to get into it for the context. He's talking about getting into trying to get as much money as you can. The love of money is the root of all evil, right? He's talking about, what's the emphasis of the world? I want to get as much in my bank as I can. I want to get as much property and as much possessions. Am I right on that one? Didn't Jesus say, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses? But our world, the focus is on getting and getting and getting and getting. In fact, when God's people get wrapped up in that, they have no time for the Lord because they got to get. It's a trick of the devil. It's a carrot on a stick. You're never going to get what you want, but you'll always be running in circles. Amen. Here's what he says to him. But thou, O man of God, verse number 11, flee these things. Don't make the world and its finances and everything else your goal in life. Follow after righteousness, godliness. We're talking about holiness, right? Faith, love, patience, meekness. Pursue the right things. That's just what he's saying. Especially as a man of God, pursue the right things. Don't get off track running after this and running after that. Stay on focus. Look at verse number 12. Watch what he says. Fight the good fight of what? Faith. I'm fighting my flesh, but by faith I'm looking to the future. Watch what he says. Lay hold on what? Lay hold on what? That eternal life, that's not talking about salvation. He's talking to a preacher. Eternal life is eternity. Is what matters. You know, you can't lay a hold of what really matters when you're trying to get a hold of everything else that don't matter. Your hands can't be full with both. You can't serve two masters. You can't love mammon and money and material things and love the Lord. You got to make sure that you're trying to get a hold of the things that matter and let go of the things that don't. The emphasis is you seek him and his righteousness, he'll take care of the things you need. Watch what he says. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Look at verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now, there's differences of opinion. What does that mean? What does that mean? What did Jesus say before Pilate that had to do with focusing on eternity and not here and now? I personally believe it's a reference to John 18:36. Pilate said, are you a king? He said, yeah, I'm a king. But right now, my focus is not being a king in this world now. Amen? If my focus was here and now, we would fight. We'd make our focus. We'd be fighting you. You're not my focus. This world ain't my focus right now, not this time around. Oh, this world is mine. I'll be back. I'll be establishing my kingdom here, no doubt about it. But I got to go the right way. I got to go the way across. Amen. I'm not going to get sidetracked and fight for something that's taking me away from my focus. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. His confession was, yes, I'm a king, but I'm not a king right here in this world now. Amen. I'm not going to get fighting you here. Now, I'm not going to get focused on here and now. Let me tell you something, the devil's getting all of us, for many of us, he'll get us with this, the lust of other things, the cares, amen? Mm-hmm. Witness a good confession, verse number 14, and I quit, that thou keep this commandment, the command to what? Stay focused. Don't get sidetracked, stay focused. Keep this commandment without what? Well, it sounds like being holy, right? Unrebukable. Until when? Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You focus on the Lord. You focus on eternity. You focus on what really matters. And don't get sidetracked by the things that'll distract you. Don't do like Demas. Amen. The Lord prayed for us. They're in the world, Father. Please keep them from the evil of the world. It's every one of our battles, day in and day out. Amen? We battle what's around us. And may God help us to keep our focus on what's ahead of us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for the gathering again today. Thank you for your word. Without your word, we'd have no reason to gather. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, whose word it is. It's the sword of the Spirit. Father, I pray for myself and I pray for every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ in this place. We are trying on a daily basis to live lives pleasing to you, but all around us, every which way, we got the radio calling us to listen to the wrong music. We got the TVs calling us to watch the wrong programs. We got the internet calling us to get on sites we shouldn't. We got temptations all around us that could distract us, that could keep us from being faithful to you and fruitful for you. Oh God, help us. Forgive us for getting distracted and getting detoured. When we're distracted and detoured, we make no difference in the lives of others as we ought to. God, help us to get back our fight and to get back our focus so that maybe we get back our fruit. In Jesus' precious name, amen.